This is Rachel Cohen, and I am just at a loss for words, which never, hardly ever happens. But I have Avi Lipkin and Aaron sitting here at the table with us, and I'm surrounded by friends. And also, I have Cynthia Grace on the phone, who's been my historian for a long time. And I'm going to let Avi and Aaron talk about different things, but Avi spoke about the connection between how this Russian thing, this kind of gets off a little bit of where we're going, but I just want to hear what you were saying about the Turks and the Tartars, and can you give us some background of how this is really, incrementally, it's worked its way as a religious thing that nobody knows about?
Okay, well, indeed, we have, I think, three elements in what's happening in Russia and Ukraine now, which Americans just cannot fathom. You know, if you live in America and you're a Catholic or you're a Protestant or you're a Jew or whatever you are, nobody cares and it's nobody's business because you have freedom of religion and everything's very personal. But what's happening in Russia and Ukraine is a war between Catholics and Russian Orthodox, which are affiliated with the Greek Orthodox Church. And that is the hatred that goes back even before the Protestant Catholic Wars of Reformation from the 1500s. We're talking about from 1053, the schism between Rome and Constantinople. So that's one element in what's happening there. The other element is that everybody hates the Russians. The Poles hate the Russians. The Ukrainians hate the Russians. The Slovaks, the Czechs, the, you know, the Romanians, the Bulgarians. The Russians are the big oppressors and murderers in the eyes of these East European countries. And the third element is Islam, because the Russians have been fighting Islam for 1,000 years. And like in 1854, there was a Holocaust of a group called the Circassians, 3 million Turkic Circassians in Sochi, which is where the Olympics took place.
Oh, man.
And part of the Olympics took place on a hill in Sochi called Red Hill. Why was it called Red Hill? Not because of communism. It was called Red Hill because of the blood of the 3 million Circassians who were massacred by the Russians in 1854 by the Tsar of Russia. And they slaughtered the Tatars, and they expelled and exiled the Tatars, into the heart of Russia. And now these Tatars are coming back, you know, from Russia into the Crimea. Now the Russians take Crimea. The Tatars are back inside of Russia again. And the Russians hate the Tatars, and the Tatars hate the Russians. Then you have another group called the Chechens. And the Chechens have been fighting the Russians for hundreds of years. And, you know, it's interesting that the Russians even warned America about the Tsarnaev brothers in Boston, and America paid no attention because Americans don't know what the Russians are talking about. But the Russians know what they're talking about. So this is a three-sphere war. It's a multidisciplinary war in Eastern Europe. And I personally think that the Russians have made a big mistake. And the reason is, firstly, Obama seems to be like a slob and an idiot and doesn't know what he's doing, but the sanctions that the European Union and the Americans are going to apply increasingly to Russia are going to hurt the Russian people. The Russian people today support Putin 80%, but that's going to change because the Russian people have become very, very westernized. And many of the Russian people were saying, you know, why are you starting a war with Ukraine? Ukrainians are our brothers and sisters. Putin thinks like a 19th century czar, even pre-communist behavior, where the czar's army comes in and conquers. When things get bad, the people are going to turn against Putin. Another problem is that the Muslims throughout the world, I believe, are going to mount a jihad, a massive Sunni jihad against the Russian people to support the Ukrainians. And, of course, the Catholics, including the Poles and the Slovaks and the Czechs and Bulgarians, well, the Bulgarians and Romanians are Orthodox Christians, but they will tend to be anti-Russian. So Russia's going to be facing a lot of problems between the West and Eastern Europe and the Muslims. I think it's the beginning of the end of Putin, because this is now setting into motion a process. And the Russians are going to pay very dearly from Islamic terrorism.
You mentioned the Tsarnaev brothers, is that
Tsarnaev?
Tsarnaev brothers,
right.
And we're coming up on the anniversary of that.
The Boston bombing, right.
April 15th.
Right.
Yes, and I read an article in Debka that we actually had some prior knowledge of that.
The Russians warned the U.S. intelligence, and U.S. intelligence didn't do anything with it. And I think one of the reasons is that anything regarding Islam is dealt with by Muslims. In other words, you know what, let me tell a little story. My sister, who works for the Israeli intelligence, the Israeli radio services, her sister left Israel, moved to New Jersey. She just died of cancer, unfortunately. But for a number of years, my sister-in-law was working for lawyers in New Jersey, translating legal documents from Arabic into English, and vice versa, you know, for legal court cases and stuff. And she, my sister-in-law, applied for a job with the American intelligence in Washington. And they said to her, we do not hire Jews who speak Arabic, because the Muslims who work for the American government don't want Jews working with them.
Wow.
And so what you have basically is the fox is guarding the hen house. So American intelligence is an oxymoron, because America cannot have intelligence if you're letting the fox guard the hen house.
Yes.
Rachel.
Yes, it does. The fox is in the hen house.
Yeah, I keep hearing myself the Esau Edom, and I'm reminded of something that, have you ever heard of Yair Davidi?
Of course I heard of him.
Yair talks about you cannot, the brothers are so close in a lot of ways, and the reason why Russia was involved during World War II with the Allies was because it often takes Esau Edom to help win a war with Jacob Israel. It's a love-hate relationship. And I'm wondering, this whole thing with Russia, it's so convoluted how we're so attached to each other. But ultimately, it's going to be Jacob's demise if they don't wake up and see it. And the strange thing is you had with the Axis powers, with Germany, you had it with Rome or Italy. And then you had Turkey. You again had Esau Edom. It's a strange phenomenon to me that, you know, we're just flipping and flopping back and forth. Does any of this make sense?
Okay, well, firstly, it's nice to talk to you. We've never met, so you don't know the things that I've been saying. And I kind of like vary with certain rabbinic authorities who say that Esau, Edom, Ishmael, or shall I say Esau, Edom is the enemy, and Ishmael repented, and I don't know how they apply these things, but I say that because Esau marries the daughter of Ishmael, he becomes an Ishmaelite. Birds of a feather flock together. And what happens is, I don't know if you know this, dear, but Ishmael sodomized his brother Isaac, and that's what Sarah saw. The translation in English is a poor translation, where it says that Sarah saw Ishmael behaving in a haughty manner with her son Isaac. It wasn't behaving in a haughty manner, he sodomized her son, she saw it. The word in Hebrew is mitzachek. And so when Esau marries the daughter of Ishmael, he's marrying the daughter of the uncle who sodomized and raped his father. So there's a lot of psychological baggage here between Ishmael and Esau on the one side and Isaac and Jacob on the other side. There is a dichotomy within the family. And so one of the things I share in the church is that in every family, or not in every family, many, many families, you find kids who come from the same flesh and blood parents, and some are anointed and saved and serve the Lord, and on the other hand, you've got others who are total renegades from the same father and mother. And so the Bible teaches us that there are within families siblings who are saved and those who are not, and their parents who are saved and those who are not, and there are these tensions between the kids and the parents over those who are saved and not saved. And you know, what I'm saying is Ishmael and Esau were horrible people, and they were men of war, they were crazy, and they were sexual perverts, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the pure ones, and that's why Jews and Christians cherish the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.